If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
50 Cent is often labeled as the biggest bully in hip hop.
Because here's a guy who starts beef and pretends that he is the bully.
Okay, and what was your first impression of him?
Bully.
Whether it's from beefing his enemies, friends, or even family.
Fifth, you love yourself? I used to.
To even being accused of destroying New York City hip-hop.
Don't blame me for New York City hip-hop. Well, he was the program director. You know, he did not play that music. No,
50 Cent has gained a reputation for being a heartless rapper. But what if I told you 50 isn't heartless at all? He's actually been trying to save hip-hop for years.
Did he do it, right?
No, he did.
You've been social media talking about it.
He did it.
Many people have called 50 Cent a hater for talking about Diddy as long as he has. From saying Puffy wanted to take him shopping.
He told me to take me shopping.
And going as far as alleging there's weird things going on at Diddy parties.
That's why I won't be going to the Puffy parties.
It's pretty documented 50 has been going at Diddy for a while. But in the last year, 50 Cent got some apologies. Diddy was arrested for trafficking, racketeering, transportation to engage in prostitution, all a day after he was arrested at a Manhattan hotel in late 2024. He also had footage leaked of him assaulting his ex-girlfriend Cassie. Not to mention, the feds even said they found a lot of baby oil after they raided Diddy's home. Now, while Diddy has beaten some of these charges, he currently is awaiting sentencing for the rest. So it's pretty safe to say, many people have circled back to 50's comments throughout the years.
What does it feel like all these years, you've been the only one calling this out?
I look like I've been the crazy guy for a long
time.
They
said that you're a hater. They said
you're
crazy.
You do this, yeah, and now everybody's complaining. My ass is hurting.
And as you can imagine, 50 didn't just have a field day regarding this news. He had a field year, posting so many times about this situation, we've all lost count. But in those posts, he's done more than just troll Diddy. 50 also tried to bring in another longtime frenemy of his in Jay-Z. Now you might be thinking, why is 50 asking about Jay-Z? 50 Cent has publicly questioned Jay-Z's continued friendship with Diddy throughout this entire saga. He shared images of the two on Instagram with the caption, "Friends till the end, Jay, you still there?" And another post saying, "Jay in hibernation, he ain't coming outside till this stuff with Puff blow over. No brunch, no lunch, no dinner. LOL, I'm all you got, I'm outside." These posts, and other ones just like it, are seen as 50 directly challenging Jay-Z's decision to stay silent about Diddy despite how serious all of these accusations are.
Proximity to Diddy. Huh? You don't think he knew anything? He's seemingly
relax.
Around Diddy.
I don't know.
That was a real suburb question. Do you think he knew all of the that was going on? No matter how you answer that, you snitching.
Yeah.
But when we look at it, Diddy isn't the only one 50 has been warning hip-hop about for all this time. He's been doing it for Jay-Z as well. Although, it's not necessarily in the way you might think. Yeah, he's brought up Diddy at the Roc Nation parties and Jay's silence around all of the allegations. But it's a lot more than just that. 50 has tried to warn people about who Jay-Z is as a person, how he handles his business, and what he does behind the scenes.
This be super quiet doing some real grimy shit. Looking and see if anybody noticed the grimy shit I just did.
Even if you're someone that isn't business minded, you can imagine is very competitive. And 50, he knows that all too well. He's told people countless times that Jay will do whatever it takes to win, even if it means those around him lose. As early as 2009, 50 said this about Jay. He has a king complex. He thinks he's Jesus. You know what I mean? This Jehovah stuff. But that wasn't the only thing 50 said. He talked about Jay-Z and how he treats those on his record label, Rockefeller. I think Jay was saying, "Rock La Familia, we family, it's the Rockefeller gang," and then using traditional business tactics. He didn't have their interests in mind. He was just doing what he had to do for himself. Now you might be thinking, was 50 just jealous of Jay's success? Jay-Z showed early signs of being a ruthless businessman when he sold Rockefeller in 2004 without fully informing his partner Dame Dash. While co-founders Dame and Biggs got equal shares of the sale, they didn't get an equal share of power. Jay secretly made a $30 million side deal to become Def Jam president and reclaim almost all of his masters with that exact same sale. After the split, Dame decided to launch his own label, Dame Dash Music Group, which sadly folded in just 2 years. Dame wasn't in a good spot, so to recoup money and try to cut ties with Jay almost entirely, he sold his Rockaware stake, the Rockefeller clothing brand, for $22 million. Awesome news for Dame, right? Well, sort of. Jay turned around and sold Rockaware for $204 million just 2 years later, leaving Dame out of millions once again.
So now it's going down and I'm arguing with them and I'm like, yo, sell my interest, man. I just want to go. Soon as I leave, then Jay comes back and he's like, now I'm involved every day. And then they did whatever they did and sold the company without me. Every time we'd be about to sell it, he would do that would devalue it and it seemed like it was intentional. Bottom line is, Rockaware was my idea. Yeah. I approved, it was my baby. Rockefeller was my idea. Was my baby.
But for 50, it's a lot more personal than just the age-old Dame Dash story. As far as artists he works with, I think he completely has his best interests in mind, 50 told the Rolling Stone in 2009. 2 years prior to saying this, 50 Cent lost the historic sales battle with Kanye West by graduation outselling Curtis. Since then, on numerous occasions, 50 has said the sales battle wasn't exactly as clean as you'd think.
You think it was fuzzy math?
Absolutely.
The numbers weren't right, big. They did something to that.
Absolutely.
He has also suggested that Jay-Z's goal was to actually beat him through Kanye. As 50 said, if Kanye beat him in the sales battle, he would retire from music.
But like this, let's raise the stakes. If Kanye West sells more records than 50 Cent on September 11th, I'll no longer write music.
He sold more.
Uh-huh.
You didn't retire.
You know what happened is... But later, if you look at Jay-Z's documentary, he points that moment out as a point that he beat me. How did he beat me if it was Kanye's? Because he was the president of Def Jam, and they did everything they could to make that work at that point. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we have to make the numbers.
If 50 lost, it would definitely hurt his dominance in New York's rap scene, making Jay seem that much better. In his book, Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, 50 explained his private thoughts even further. Jimmy Iovine might not have cared about beating Kanye, but Jay-Z, who was the head of Def Jam at the time, damn sure cared about beating me. Jay had been extremely uncomfortable with my run in New York City for years, so he did everything under the sun to make sure he could beat me through Kanye. Now, if you feel Kanye won fairly, and Jay was simply looking out for his artist, it's your opinion, and you might even be right. But this next situation with Jay-Z might make 50 saying he doesn't look out for his artists, only himself, a lot more real. After becoming president of Def Jam and later launching Roc Nation, Jay-Z aligned himself with rising stars like Kanye West and Rihanna. He later used those relationships to launch Tidal, a streaming platform promoted as for artists by artists. Jay gave partial ownership to Kanye, Rihanna, J. Cole, Nicki Minaj, Usher, Madonna, and others, aiming to offer artists better pay. But the cracks started to show early, as Kanye West left in 2016, reportedly still being owed $3 million. Not a great look for a platform claiming to support artists. In 2021, Jay-Z sold Tidal for $297 million, making a huge profit, which I'm sure he was pretty happy about. But not everyone was excited about this news. Nicki Minaj, an original title supporter, claimed she never got paid despite being one of its biggest promoters. Music executive Steve Stout said Nicki never signed the paperwork needed, defending Jay in the process. But Nicki, she fired back, saying she was pressured to sign for just $1 million to be silenced about the entire thing. This ultimately led her to seeing this alleged offer as a scam, causing her to walk away from everything. In the end, Nicki probably wishes she took 50's public warning that Jay doesn't care about his artists, only himself. But believe it or not, this still isn't the last example that might support 50's claims of Jay being selfish.
Good. And what do you think about Jay-Z's deal with the NFL? What did you think about that when you heard about it?
I think that was the timing was a little wild. But, I mean, that's a Roc Nation deal. You know, Jay, he's going to take the heat for it.
In 2019, Jay-Z shocked the world when he signed a partnership deal with the NFL, the same league that blackballed quarterback Colin Kaepernick for kneeling during the national anthem. What looked like a step forward for activism, many actually saw as a betrayal. Jay-Z's company Roc Nation became the NFL's official partner for entertainment and social justice, another great deal in payday for Jay. The deal included producing halftime shows and helping steer the league's Inspire Change campaign. But there was a problem. Colin Kaepernick was still unemployed.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Despite being a serviceable QB to most, no team would sign him after he protested police brutality on the field. To many, Jay-Z's deal looked like he was legitimizing the same league that blackballed Kaepernick without holding them accountable.
Okay, I think we've passed kneeling. I think it's time to go into actionable items.
That quote sparked outrage. To critics, Jay wasn't moving past kneeling. He was moving past Colin. Colin's longtime partner, Nessa Diab, called the move disgusting and disappointing. Former 49ers safety Eric Reed said Jay-Z was simply making a money move.
He can't say he would kneel because the reason why Roger Goodell got him is to get these players off their knees. Snaked him, bro. I ain't gonna lie, I've studied all these snake tactics by Jay-Z. He's gotten so many billions by snaking.
Many fans felt Jay-Z traded activism for influence, helping the NFL clean up its image while Kaepernick never got justice. But in Jay's defense, the NFL arranged a private workout for Kaepernick in November of 2019, reportedly pushed by Jay himself behind the scenes. Although it didn't go as planned, Kaepernick changed the location last minute over concerns about transparency, highlighting that it was closed to the media, which could potentially give the NFL the ability to control the narrative of how the whole tryout went. Very few scouts showed up to the new location, and the NFL said he blew his chance. In the end, Kaepernick never played in the NFL again, and Jay-Z continued his partnership with the league, a partnership that just so happened to lead to an alleged incident with 50 Cent nobody but 50 could have ever expected.
Look, Jay-Z and them was putting it together. So I think they still harbor some energy towards me.
In 2022, it was rumored that Jay-Z didn't want 50 Cent performing at the Super Bowl, probably due to their longstanding issues. But Eminem wouldn't perform unless 50 did.
I hit the homie, the big homie Jay-Z, right? And he said to me, the white guy called for 50 Cent. So I said, who's the white guy? Eminem called directly for 50.
50 didn't seem too surprised by this, because as we know, he's been saying Jay is competitive and solely business-minded since the 2000s.
Jay-Z told Dr. Dre or Eminem that he didn't want you to perform part of that Super Bowl they had a couple years ago. Why do you think that is?
Well, I just
threatened.
Yeah,
possibly.
Not even threat. You know, I think it's just when you take the competition from, like, our culture is competitive, man. It's,
right.
It is, but I think when it goes past the music itself to blocking things in business, I don't understand that. Like right now, you're not even competing for a slot. Mm-hmm. You don't have a new song out that he wanted to be on the top 10 or top 5.
Right.
And you're still competing. It just don't make sense. Like, what are we competing for?
Tell me.
The goal?
But once again, Jay allegedly did something similar with the halftime show just 2 years later. As we know, Nicki Minaj was upset with Jay-Z over a fallout with Tidal, and her YMCMB crew, Lil Wayne and Drake, have also had tensions with Jay in the past or even at the moment. But in 2024, some fans felt Jay-Z snubbed Lil Wayne by choosing Kendrick Lamar, Drake's biggest rival, to perform at the 2025 Super Bowl in Wayne's hometown in New Orleans. To many, it looked like a deliberate move against YMCMB. And Nicki, well, she didn't hold back her thoughts.
Nicki Minaj jumped in today. She says, denying a young black man what he rightfully put into this game for no other reason but your ego. Your hatred for Drake and Nicki got you punishing Wayne? Lil Wayne? The GOAT?
Birdman also tweeted about the alleged snub, seemingly calling Jay-Z soft, as well as some other things. And Lil Wayne, he was extremely upset by this.
That hurt a lot. You know what I'm talking about, it hurt a whole lot.
Although to many, Jay did nothing wrong. Kendrick had a career year and also deserved to perform. But if you ask YMCMB, they probably don't see it that way. And it could be another example of hip-hop not listening to 50 Cent's warning. Jay-Z looks out for himself, and he always plays to win. But despite 50's attempts of trying to warn people about Diddy and Jay seemingly failing, he never stopped trying to save hip-hop. Although, it still wasn't enough to save some of these young artists' lives from being changed forever.
Like, 6ix9ine is not from the street.
Mm-hmm.
6ix9ine took hip-hop by storm in 2018 with his music and social media antics. He was trending so much, it actually led to 50 not only learning who 6ix9ine was, but fully embracing and defending him from the haters. I'm telling you, the kids love the young boy. He's working on himself. We all have things we should work on. If you don't like the music, make something better. Until then, shut up. But with 50 being the smart guy he is, he saw the potential dark path 6ix9ine was going on. Tekashi was involved and backed by Treyway, aka the 9 Trey Bloods, and a lot of his music and social media antics were boosted by this affiliation.
Nobody ever gonna take
you. Don't think telling people to suck your online got anything to do with it too?
Nah, I suck my every day.
I don't think you should be bringing that kind of energy on yourself.
But listen, I'm gangster. I know I'm gangster. I know. I tell everybody all the time, test my gangster, right?
Oh God.
Like, he was going from set to set, right, babe? Like, with different packs of guys that are actively involved, and he realized they would go. Like, if you say you're gonna give them the money, they're going. That was making him feel confident enough.
But for 50, he saw this unfolding in real time. And knowing 6ix9ine wasn't really the gangster character he was portraying, he tried to help him numerous times.
You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't being Tekashi 6ix9ine when he was around me. He was being Danny.
Right.
So he was going, so what am I supposed to do? And I was helping him, trying to tell him what to do. When I talked to him, we were just building on different things, and he was saying, so if this happened, like what should I expect? And I told him, his problem was he had been through too many layers. He got too many people.
50 was so aware of what was going on, he even went as far as denouncing any gang affiliation of his own when he collaborated with 6ix9ine and Casanova on the song Get the Strap.
I am not gang gang, I do not gang bang, but play me like I'm pussy, I will pull up and bang bang.
And speaking of the other artists on the song Casanova, 50 even tried to warn him as well.
Like, I don't like gang stuff. I don't like gangs. I don't like conspiracy. I don't like the word Rico. Actually, I was telling Casanova, stay away from that.
Stay away from
that. But, you know, things still happen.
But although 50 did his best to warn Tekashi, by the time he ended up listening, it was too late. On November 16th, 2018, Tekashi 6ix9ine announced that he was no longer associated with Treyway.
Why did you fire everybody, 6ix9ine?
Yeah, we seen the video yesterday.
I fired everybody in my team. I got no manager, I got no booking agent, no PR, no publisher. I don't got nobody on my team. It's just me.
Like, there's so much money out here to be stealing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you so gotta get out of here.
We figured people were stealing. Yeah.
Although only 2 days later, 6ix9ine's life would change forever. On November 18th, 2018, 6ix9ine, along with his former manager and three associates, were arrested. These arrests were part of a longer investigation by the FBI into a group of individuals linked to the Nine Trey Gangsters. And when we look back to the song Get the Strap, 50's lyrics definitely hold a lot more meaning, as 6ix9ine, his entourage, and Casanova, who as we know 50 also tried to warn, were all arrested.
See what I'm saying? So
don't get indicted, but go ahead.
No, they brought him to me. Look, I'm not involved.
He said, no, not me.
I am not gang. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I am not gang.
Yeah. Although unfortunately for 6ix9ine, 50's fears had evidently come true. But 50, being the good friend he is, still didn't give up on him. He tried to intervene and find out the extent of trouble 6ix9ine was really in by allegedly trying to send a lawyer to help him out. But once again, it was too late. 50 had found out 6ix9ine was already willing to cooperate with the FBI, and after 50 found that out, he no longer claimed Tekashi as his long-lost son.
Hey, has 6ix9ine reached out to you from jail?
No, I haven't spoken to him.
Yeah. Really? Would you answer?
Yeah, no. No.
You wouldn't even be curious.
That was your son, Fifth.
Yeah, I know, but this is mother's child now. After you do shit like that, you your mama's child. Don't call me.
Since then, 6ix9ine's career has gone way downhill, having various arrests, losing personal items, cars, and jewelry to the IRS, being caught on camera lacking in LA fitness, and much more. But the crazy thing is, Tekashi isn't the only young rapper from New York who 50 tried to save before it was too late.
And saying, yo, you want to do this? Like what you see me doing? You do too much of this, you going to jail. Like,
Pop Smoke took hip-hop by storm in 2019 with his song Welcome to the Party, catching the eyes of many artists, including Nicki Minaj, who hopped on the remix. But Nicki wasn't the only artist Pop made take notice of him. Many people immediately compared Pop Smoke to 50 Cent. And once again, being the supportive person 50 is, he immediately tried to take him under his wing and deny that Pop was stealing his flow.
Only one
you like Pop Smoke? You like
love Pop Smoke.
Oh, you better. Whoa. Smoobell. Whoa, baby.
A lot of people say they hear you in him. He.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Said that when he started, he was, you know, very influenced by you.
It's a whole new vibe.
50 Cent really did have love for Pop Smoke, and Pop had that same love right back. So much so, he was even writing down all of the advice 50 was trying to give him.
Talking, and I was like, yo, I'm watching him, right? This keep playing with his phone. Like, you know, this little play with their phone all the time, bro. I'm like, yo, what the is wrong with this, right? I swear to God, the was writing what I said down.
50 even said that Pop began listening to his advice and was really making an effort to clean up the crew around him.
Like, I told him, I go, yo, don't keep them around there like that. Like with the hammers and stuff like that. Because they'd be strapped up like crazy. I'm like, oh, easy.
So you're advising. Do you advise them?
No, I would tell him not to do that. Because, like, he got that element is around. And I'm like, yo, just.
I think he's trying.
He is. He listens. Yeah. Like, just the time that I did speak to him, they changed, made some changes.
But unfortunately, tragedy still struck.
Now at 11, we're following breaking news. A rap star on the rise killed during a violent home invasion in the Hollywood Hills this morning.
On February 19th, 2020, in Los Angeles, California, Pop Smoke tragically passed away in a home invasion gone wrong. As many of you know, this is one of the saddest tragedies we've seen in hip-hop. And Pop Smoke's potential was just touching the surface as both a young man and an artist. 50 Cent was so moved by Pop Smoke, he ended up becoming an executive producer for his next album, Shoot for the Stars and for the Moon, even going as far as convincing Pop's entire team to continue working on this new album.
So he was like, what are you doing with the album? And I was like, man, I'm not thinking about that. He's like, I get you're grieving, but you gotta like get out of this shit and stop being selfish. You did all this great work and now you're just gonna like abandon it because you're sad, you're depressed. Mm. You know, he would push me. He'd be like, yo, what are we doing? He was like, you gotta do this for his family, for his legacy. Mm.
Pop Smoke's legacy will of course be remembered forever. But we also can't forget, this was another young artist 50 Cent showed so much love and support for and only wanted to see him grow. 50 easily could have been like many others and not taken Pop Smoke's similar flow as homage, but biting his style and became defensive. But that's not who 50 is. He truly does care for people and hip-hop. Although crazy enough, Pop Smoke wasn't the only young rapper 50 saw himself in and tried to save before it was too late.
When Chief Keef come around for the first time, I fall in love with Chief Keef.
When Chief Keef first came in the game, he was young, talented, and most of all, he did what he wanted to do.
Why does everybody say you're only 16 years old?
They say what they
want to
say.
How old
so how old are you?
300.
50 Cent immediately took a liking to Chief Keef as soon as he heard his first big hit, I Don't Like.
The first time I heard Chief Keef, I don't like. This is crazy.
50 really wanted Chief Keef to succeed, even comparing him to his own son at the time.
When you see Chief Keef, I look at him and I go, his age says my son would be Chief Keef if we didn't make it. You feel me? So right. I look at it and I go, I like that, man. I like him.
But with all this success coming to Chief Keef at such a young age, it came with a lot of responsibility that he may not have realized. While Chief Keef and his label Interscope Records were gearing up to drop his album Finally Rich, they had planned to record a music video for the song Hate Being Sober that featured 50 Cent and Wiz Khalifa. And in 2012, a young rapper getting not only features, but a music video with two huge artists like this wasn't just a big deal, but a big expense for the label. Although for Chief Keef, he didn't see it that way. On the day of the music video shoot, Chief Keef was nowhere to be found. 50, Wiz Khalifa, the label, and the production crew were all waiting. Chief Keef ended up doing the unthinkable and didn't show up to his own video shoot. And as you can imagine, 50 couldn't believe it. Chief Keef didn't show up to his own video. I never saw anything like this on the first song. It's not funny. Chief Keef didn't sell any records yet. They will pull the plug on him. But some of you might be thinking, why didn't 50 try and talk to Chief Keef directly instead of tweeting? And the answer is, he did.
Like, I called him ahead of time, told him, get on the plane. And it was like, okay, could they send a jet? I was like, no, it's not the jet thing. You have to get on the plane, you understand?
And although Chief Keef disrespected 50, 50 still wanted to look out for him, as he understood he was a young guy going through a lot. Just 5 days after the music video incident, 50 got on Twitter to say, Chief Keef is my boy. I'm gonna get everything back in place for him. They were gonna just throw him out. I told him at Interscope, it's not him. He just has the wrong people around him. 50 really tried his best to give Chief Keef a second chance with the label after what he did. As 50 knows very well, once you blow your chance, the label will just move on from you. But unfortunately for Chief Keef, his second chance didn't last very long. Just weeks after Chief Keef's album Finally Rich was released, he was sentenced to 60 days in juvenile detention for violating his probation stemming from a previous gun conviction. 50 was actually asked about Chief Keef's legal troubles at the time, and he had this to say. With Chief Keef, it's unfortunate to hear that he's actually locked up. I feel bad, because I feel like I knew this was going to happen. I know what continues to happen afterwards if you let it spiral out of control. So after doing his 60 days in juvenile detention, you'd think a young Chief Keef would have learned his lesson, but that was far from the case. Shortly after being released on May 20th, 2013, he was arrested for disorderly conduct. Then not even a month later, in June of 2013, Chief Keef pleaded guilty to doing 110 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. And it also didn't help that he only had his learner's permit. I think you think that you're invincible, and you're certainly not, said Cook County Circuit Court Judge Earl Hoffenberg. Violate conditions of the plea agreement and you'll find out you're not. I sure hope I don't have to see you again, because if I do, you better be ready to go to jail. And just 2 years after 50 Cent fought to keep Chief Keef with Interscope Records, he was dropped by them, allegedly for his legal troubles and having intense arguments over his career. So looking back, everything 50 had tried to warn Chief Keef about and protect him from seemingly came true. And although Chief Keef is a hip-hop icon, it's safe to say this was the peak of his career, and not exactly the future 50 Cent wanted for the young artist. But if you can believe it, Chief Keef wasn't the only big rapper from Chicago 50 Cent tried to save, and this time, 50 may have been too late. 50 Cent and Lil Durk's friendship seems to have began back in 2021 on the set of the Power, Powder, Respect music video that was for the theme song of Power Book 4 Force, led by the legend Tommy Egan. This is where 50 Cent spoke to Lil Durk about his crew and first warned him to watch who's around.
Even with Durk, I was telling him, like, when I had him, he was in New York. We was doing the theme song for Force.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
For the Chicago version.
Yeah.
Then, like, I was like, yo, this is them, right? It's a real shit, right? He's like, yeah. And I said, yo, just watch him. His crew.
When you said that to Durk, what was his response to you?
He said, you know what? He said, somebody just came in my house. How do they know exactly what address is? I don't get my address. Nobody. Like, this is...
Lil Durk was already putting the wheels in motion. He was referring to an incident in 2021 when he and his girlfriend India were at their residence at the Chateau Elan neighborhood when several unidentified individuals entered around 5:14 a.m. During the break-ins, the suspects and Durk exchanged gunfire, but ultimately nobody got hurt. So 50 asking Durk about his crew got him to thinking, how did these people find my house? Only those close to me knew where it was. Regardless, this wouldn't be the last time Durk thought about 50's question about those in his crew. On October 25th, 2024, Lil Durk was arrested in connection to the murder of fellow rapper Quando Rondo's cousin in 2022. Durk and his crew allegedly targeted Rondo's cousin as the retaliation for the murder of King Von, who was signed to Durk's label and was killed back in 2020 by Quando Rondo's associate Lil Tim. But that wasn't all. Durk was also charged with one count of conspiracy, one count of use of interstate facilities to commit murder for hire, resulting in death, and one count of using, carrying, and discharging firearms/machine guns, and possession of such firearms in furtherance of a crime of violence resulting in death. Add all this together, and Durk is now facing life in prison. It's also rumored someone in Durk's crew allegedly snitched on him by wearing a wire around him. The accused has since denied this via Instagram, but it seems that someone inside Durk's crew cooperated. Once again, another promising artist 50 tried to put on the safe track and warn about the dangers that could be coming if they're not being careful. But even though Lil Durk's story is a cautionary tale, this next artist that didn't take 50's advice led him from making hit music and having $22 million to losing it all and spending years in prison.
Uncle Fifth, man, yeah, I'm saying, you already know, he been showing love, man, like.
Fetty Wap took the industry by storm with his hit songs Trap Queen, Again, My Way, 679, and more. You couldn't go around the corner without hearing Fetty himself, someone singing his lyrics, or even humming his melodies. He was that dumb.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Dominant. And that dominance led him to making history when his first four singles charted in the top 10 of the Billboard's Hot 100 list. But somehow, Fetty was not recognized by the Grammys in that year's nominations. This shocked a lot of people, including 50 Cent, who knew the feeling all too well. My Best New Artist Award goes to Fetty Wap. He put some real hits out this year. They're overlooking him. They did the same thing to me. Get Rich or Die Tryin', 13 million copies sold. But not being nominated for the Grammys was only the beginning of Fetty's issues.
I know for a fact I was clearing $100,000 every day. Now, the day I woke up and I only made like $40,000, I'm like, it ain't right. I'm like, all right, it's happening. This was start getting dark.
Fetty Wap's fall from the top was a quick one, but it was still bumpy. Having four top 10 Billboard hits, making $100,000 a day, and reportedly having over $22 million.
22?
Like 22, M's. Like 2.22 million?
Yeah.
Holy.
To his music career falling off a cliff and losing all his money. So the question is, why did it all slow down? For starters, it's rumored Fetty took his foot off the gas in terms of releasing music due to label issues. Essentially, after Fetty Wap dominated music in 2015, he didn't release a real album for years. And 50 Cent warned Fetty at the time, once you stop, it's near impossible to get back on.
You know, even Fetty, like Fetty Wap, he slowed down because of the deal structure. And then was on fire, bro. Like, he was number one, number one, number one, number one. I'm like, goddamn, do not stop, do not stop.
Yeah.
You give it a break, and it's hard to get back into that slot. He's learning now.
Right.
His voice is still good. Like the music, because our culture is out with the old and with the new.
Right.
But although 50 warned Fetty of what could be on the way, he never held it against him, still tried to prop him up. He posted Fetty's music on his Instagram.
You know, and I like the new record came out here to tell you, I put it on Instagram for him. He said, I ain't gonna owe you nothing for that, right? Because I was doing all that Money by Monday shit, right?
Yeah, right.
I just didn't know. For him, I'm looking at it like, I want to see you back
in
that? A good position.
Right.
And in 2019, 50 booked Fetty to perform at a Power premiere party, which some fans actually dragged 50 for, as he booked an artist whose buzz had all but died off. 50 decided to explain the real reason why we hadn't heard much from the former superstar. In response to someone who commented, "Dog fell off," 50 said it wasn't that, he just had a contract issue. It makes an artist not want to make music. Years after Fetty Wap's fame had fallen off, 50 was still trying to prop up his friend. Some of you might be saying, yeah, 50 is a cool friend, so what? But in a world, and especially a celebrity world, where people only want you when you're on the top and drop you when you're not, it truly is respectful to see 50 trying to help someone when they're down. But despite 50's best efforts to help Fetty get back on top, his downfall wasn't slowing down.
Well, now to a developing story. Rapper Fetty Wap under arrest on federal drug charges.
He was taken into custody last night at Citi Field.
Fetty was arrested on October 2021 on charges of participating in a conspiracy to smuggle large amounts of drugs into the New York City area. And he was sentenced to 6 years in prison for these charges in 2023. Me being selfish in my pride put me in this position today. Fetty was quoted as telling a U.S. district judge. His lawyer suggested that he had turned to selling drugs because of financial hardship brought on by the pandemic. But how did Fetty go from having $22 million to feeling like he had to sell drugs to survive?
Four apartments in Jersey, I had like two apartments in Miami, a couple apartments in LA, then I have house in LA, I have a house in Jersey, like a house in Miami, like I was just doing
that. Yo, this sounds...
Ain't nobody give a f- they was getting paid. As long as that money was coming, ain't nobody was gonna say, yo, don't do that, because they was scared to... People were scared to say to me because they didn't want to stop their money, like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they call yes, man.
As Fetty said, he was spending on both himself and others at an extreme rate. Combined with not releasing music or being booked to perform, the money completely dried up. But even after his career turned upside down and he landed behind bars, there was someone still trying to help him earn money the legit way. Fetty Wap told XXL in 2023 that he had actually been learning new and legit ways to make money, and one of the people who has helped him was 50 Cent. He started showing me different ways, like stuff to invest in. So from trying to save Fetty Wap's career when he was at the top, in the middle while he was falling off, and at the bottom while he serves his sentence in prison, 50 Cent never gave up on Fetty Wap or trying to save his career. But Fetty isn't the only struggling artist 50 Cent didn't give up on, even when everyone else seemingly did.
When I got canceled, I had just met 50 a week before. He was supposed to say, get me the f*** away from that. He ain't do that. Look, when you're down, you find a goddamn brother. When you're up, you find a fake-ass friend. Believe that. Be another baby birthday.
DaBaby's run in hip-hop was a crazy one. He had people singing, dancing, and overall just really entertained. His debut studio album, Baby on Baby, in 2019, spawned the single Shook, which peaked within the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 a month after its release. But it wasn't just a top 10 hit, it changed his career forever. Fast forward to 2020, DaBaby was at the top of the world, dropping even more hit records like Intro, Bop, and how could anyone forget the song Rockstar with Roddy Ricch? DaBaby had such mainstream success, he also featured on the song Levitating with Dua Lipa, and the remix to Jack Harlow's smash hit What's Poppin'. The sky seemed like the limit for DaBaby, but unfortunately for him, the sky came falling down.
Now let's talk about DaBaby and his comments that he made at Rolling Loud.
In July of 2021, DaBaby made the biggest mistake of his career. While performing at the Rolling Loud Festival in Miami Gardens, Florida, he said some things on stage that he would never recover from and were deemed extremely offensive to many. In the aftermath of this, DaBaby's scheduled appearance at Lollapalooza on August 1st, 2021 was cancelled. The fashion brand Boohoo Man ended its collaboration with him. The organizers of the Governor's Ball Festival announced he had been removed from the 2021 lineup, and he was also cut from Parkville Festival, Day in Vegas, Austin City Limits Festival, Music Midtown, the iHeartRadio Music Festival, and to top it all off, radio stations substituted a version of the Levitating remix of Dua Lipa to the original one without him on it, resulting in his credit being removed on the Billboard Airplay charts.
You know, how different would your life be if that moment hadn't happened? We're about 50,
$60 million.
A hundred?
For sure. That happened 2 years ago. It was already, we got to go up.
What?
I promise you, but it's all good.
After this, DaBaby what was many considered to be blackballed from music, and nobody wanted anything to do with him.
Somebody, I don't know, I'm not blaming nobody, but if his music ain't done this, I don't give a nobody.
It didn't go down, that's right.
His videos still popping, somebody done something.
But for DaBaby, there was one person who didn't run away after everything came crashing down.
How's that relationship with you and Fifth? Because I feel like the 50. OG advice is always needed.
Yeah, 50-50, real super genuine, one of the most genuine I met in this, you know what I'm saying? Like he stopped in the middle of rehearsal, sat there and talked to me for like 2 hours when I met him. We ended up, you know what I mean? And just from that point on, you know what I mean? He really just took me under his wing. And
the Rolling Loud shit, that happened a week after that.
Right.
So he got every reason in the world, man. I ain't with that. I just bumped into, yeah, whatever. He got to just, right.
He could have ran away from you, but he ran towards.
He didn't have to run away. He had just met me. So all he had to do was just, you know, just lead it where that was. Wasn't even in the, you know, in the way, in no way, shape.
He called you.
He called me. He was the only one that called me.
As DaBaby said, 50 Cent had nothing to gain from sticking with him, but he did anyways. 50 wanted to mentor DaBaby because he saw a young artist who made a mistake and had no guidance.
I kind of see myself in these guys, bro. Like DaBaby and them, they've even made some of the mistakes I've made. And I'm going, I know why you made the mistake, bro. Like, what that thing was happening with DaBaby, there was no one there. He didn't even have the publicist. Place.
Although DaBaby hasn't fully recovered from that incident, he has since had a viral song with Shake Some in 2023, and even though his popularity has dwindled since his peak, 50 Cent continues to show love on his socials to promote DaBaby's work and to try and personally help him revive his career.
I see that 50, what you have,
man, that's my goddamn bro. I don't know what to call him, bro. Like my brother, like, and I don't play around with that brother word. Like, you know, when we jumped on the call and shit, he like, yeah, we need to go out to Interscope and have a meeting. I want to come.
Damn.
I want to sit down and you identify all the departments, what all the departments do, so that way you can utilize them when it comes time for your releases and shit, and you're not just putting your music out.
DaBaby is another example of 50 showing us he isn't just in it for himself. He truly wants to make others the best that they can be in hip-hop. But although 50 wasn't able to help DaBaby before it was too late, the same can't be said for these.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
His next few artists, as 50 tried to help him so much, he may have hurt himself in the process.
I don't care to do that. I think I'd like to forget the G-Unit.
I'm done with carrying them around. My back hurts.
50 Cent's rap group G-Unit started as a street mixtape crew in Queens, New York during the early 2000s. The original members were 50 Cent, Lloyd Banks, and Tony Ayo. After 50 signed with Shady Aftermath, Eminem and Dr. Dre's label, he brought G-Unit into the mainstream, and doing that meant things were going to change. In 2003, while original member Tony Ayo was in prison, they had Nashville, Tennessee rapper Young Buck join the group. That same year, their debut album Beg for Mercy went multi-platinum, but after that was when things would change forever. 50 Cent and G-Unit signed The Game, a Compton rapper backed by Dr. Dre, to help give the West Coast some representation. But although G-Unit had a lot of talent, especially with Lloyd Banks, The Game felt completely different. As G-Unit and Dr. Dre began to help Game create his debut album, The Documentary, it included some classic songs 50 Cent either wrote or at least co-wrote in How We Do, Hate It or Love It, and a few more. It's even been said 50 Cent took those two classic songs off his album The Massacre and gave them to Game instead. And if that's true, The Game owes 50 Cent a lot, because his debut album was a huge success, selling over 5 million copies. But early on, 50 and Game's relationship wasn't spotless. Game was starting fires 50 had to put out for him, like when he was overseas touring and dissing Jay-Z on stage.
Some of y'all ready? Some of y'all not. Jay-Z!
But with the documentary being such a strong debut, many thought 50 and Game were going to be a legendary duo for years to come. But it didn't play out like that.
Let me ask you a question, right? Do you feel, when you see Game, do you say, yo, why are you talking about 50? You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for him.
50 wanted The Game and the rest of G-Unit to succeed as much as possible. He took away time and resources from himself to help them succeed, all while he was the hottest rapper in the world. Many would say this wasn't smart of 50, because when you're hot, you should have tunnel vision on yourself, as it won't last forever. But 50, he wanted everyone to succeed, and the only thing he wanted in return was loyalty. 50 Cent had many beefs at the time, including issues with Jadakiss, Fat Joe, Nas, and others. But The Game, he refused to take sides, saying he had no issues with those rappers and would still collaborate with them. But to 50, this changed everything, as loyalty meant so much to him.
Just street culture in general, like, if you befriend someone who's my enemy, you're my enemy too.
Right. Not too long after, in February of 2005, 50 Cent fired The Game from G-Unit live on the radio. And a big reason was Game being disrespectful and disloyal.
So where does he stand as far as G-Unit is concerned right now?
Across the street or around the corner. He's not in my camp.
Not at all?
No way.
Okay.
Not after being that disrespectful.
Well, me and Fifth, we never talked about his beats and who we didn't like. He never gave us the G-Unit handbook, right, and said, he's... Because then I would have had a real conversation like, yo, Fifth, what about Jada just picked me up?
Right.
Then he would have said, fuck him. I wouldn't have said, but I would have fell back from him if this is right. The team I'm riding with. Mm. So I told Flex, I don't know what 50 on. I don't know what he on. Mm. But I love Nas, and Kiss just picked me up. And Joe, that's my man. 50 heard that where he was at. He ain't like that. Right. So the next thing I get, I'm kicked out the group. Well, guess what? You don't kick me out of group. I'm the G&G unit.
50 Cent and The Game go on to beef for years, with things getting serious on both sides. It's a whole video in itself. 50 wanted nothing but success for The Game, and he played a huge part in bringing hip-hop such an incredible talent. But in the end, The Game didn't want to be part of a team. He wanted to do it on his own.
I definitely wanted to like just be a solo artist. And like,
fast forward 2 decades later, while the Game had a great career, he never came close to repeating his success that he had with 50 after going to do his own thing. But the craziest part about G-Unit is that the Game isn't the only artist that disappointed 50, and depending on who you ask, this next artist may have hurt 50 the most.
He couldn't even tell you, like, at any point when you speak to him what a problem. I put him like where I put Marquise.
Oh, wow.
Lloyd Banks was one of 50 Cent's closest friends from the G-Unit days. They both grew up in Southside Jamaica, Queens, and were part of the original G-Unit trio alongside Toti Yayo. Banks was always praised for his lyricism and even known as the PLK, the Punchline King. Not to mention, he was actually loyal to 50 in all of his beefs. As many of you probably remember, one of his best pieces of work, An Officer Down, from the 50 Cent Rick Ross beef. But unfortunately for G-Unit, 50 and Banks' relationship would become rocky over time. As much as 50 can be a complicated person, he was also extremely simple. If you work with him, he wants you to work hard and be loyal, no exceptions. But for Banks and G-Unit, that wasn't always the case.
And you know, we were smoking blood in the office, brother. We was working, but we could have worked more. And now sometimes I understand what he's saying.
50 has said for years that Banks is lazy, both in interviews.
He always been like that. He's like lazy. That tattoo he got on the side of his arm, you look and say Lazy Lloyd. He's always been that, like he could just sit there and just not make a move.
And most notably, in his book Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter.
Banks was more content staying on his porch and watching the world from there. Banks wanted things to come to him, as opposed to going out and getting them for himself. That's not me trying to assassinate his character. The guy has Lazy Lloyd tattooed on his arm. He literally wears his laziness on his sleeve.
50 Cent hated the fact that Banks had so much talent and was given so much opportunity, but wasted it by not going for it. And similarly to the Game, 50 Cent put his own career on pause during its peak to try and help G-Unit, including Banks.
Look, it's being spoiled because I didn't need him on Get Rich or Die Trying. He's the only one got a chance to rap on Get Rich or Die Trying. Me, him, and M on Don't Push Me. I put you on a record with Eminem on my first album, fool. I don't nobody even know you.
But laziness or entitlement weren't the only thing that triggered 50's fallout with Banks. In 2016, Banks took a photo with the Game and posted it on Instagram. At the time, 50 and the Game were still strong enemies, so as you can imagine, 50 wasn't impressed with this. 50 was questioning Banks' loyalty to G-Unit in this post. And if we look at the timeline, this was only a year or so post the G-Unit reunion in 2014. After this, 50 and Banks were never on the same terms again.
Yeah, I kind of think that the reason why Lloyd Banks and 50 are where they are right now is because of that photo.
But see, yeah, you might be right.
Some say 50 Cent is too hard on Banks, and he doesn't deserve the negativity 50 has given him over the years. Not to mention, in 2021, on the album The Course of the Inevitable, Banks may have hinted at feelings of betrayal towards 50.
Call me quiet, call me lazy, talent never faded. It's frustrating when you're grinding, ain't appreciated.
But to 50 and how his mind works, he will never get over Banks falling short of his potential, as he truly could have made a larger impact on hip-hop with his lyrical ability and his industry advantages. But although Banks and 50's split was a bit rough, it's nothing in comparison to 50's fallout with this next G-Unit artist.
Point, you know, and Buck, I think that's over. I think that's done, but...
What do you mean?
I think his career is finished.
Oh, shoot.
Young Buck joined G-Unit in the early 2000s, and is another rapper 50 tried his best to give an opportunity to. Buck appeared on G-Unit's debut album Beg for Mercy in 2003, and also dropped his successful solo album Straight Outta Cashville in 2004. 50 played a major role in creating Buck's debut album that released under G-Unit and Interscope Records. 50 Cent didn't rap on every track, but he was crucial behind the scenes in production, writing, features, and executive decisions. Buck had the hottest rapper in the world helping his every move, and was poised to make his mark on the rap game. But that's not exactly how it played out. Like the Game, 50 felt Buck was disloyal.
Our first falling out was kind of based on the fact of he felt I was being cool with that he had issues with.
And like Banks, 50 felt Buck was lazy, didn't appreciate what he did for him, and certainly didn't work as hard as he could have. But where things really took off was when Buck had financial issues. According to 50 Cent and Tony Ayo, Buck mismanaged money. He owed royalties and begged for help multiple times.
You know, like, I'm gonna say it, Buck. Like, Buck will go on tour. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't familiar with money, how to save money. You know, like, you go on tour, you spend $250, right? And then later on, you have that grace period because you're in another tax bracket, right? So you ought to pay that, what, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years later. That money might not be there. Yo, Fifth, can I borrow $250? I got a tax problem. But how many times you think a person gonna do that for you?
He done bought some cars. The living room is all white. Bed got the shit. I got the regular bed. He got the bed with the TV coming out. He just bought a new chain. Right. He chilling with BMF. Oh, my God. Tell a girl, take the card, man. That money, it can go fast.
50 claimed Buck asked for advances and loans due to his debt, so he helped him out. But it didn't matter. Buck kept falling behind. 50 became frustrated with this because Buck was playing the victim publicly while privately asking for financial help. In 2008, Young Buck did interviews claiming he felt excluded from G-Unit decisions and that he wasn't being given any royalty checks. 50 felt betrayed, especially since he had given Buck money behind the scenes and Buck wasn't taking his time seriously as he missed recording sessions. Shortly after, Young Buck was officially kicked out of G-Unit.
But for me, removing him from the group is healthier for the group.
But to get back at him, 50 Cent leaked a phone call where Buck was crying, apologizing, and begging to return.
I'm lost out here, man. You understand? I know I owe you money. You understand?
Yeah, you're going to be all right, man. You hear me?
I'm wrong. I just get confused.
50 continues to troll Buck to this day over various things going on in his life, and it doesn't seem that they will ever have a good relationship again. Some will say 50 is going too far, and that's subject to opinion. But in the end, Buck is the third example from G-Unit of 50 Cent giving it his all to help them reach their potential, yet falling short due to laziness or ego. Although, when we look back on 50 Cent trying to save hip-hop, some of you will probably say that 50 had his fair share in also trying to destroy it. And while he has definitely shown he isn't afraid of beefing or holding on to grudges for decades, he's also shown us that he has tried to help hip-hop for the better time and time again, and that's something nobody can take away from him.